Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo. As parents, we know raising kids is the opposite of neat and tidy. Each day brings wins, losses, and valuable lessons. I pray that every time you're here, we will grow and learn, maybe even laugh and cry together in the midst of our beautiful mess.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Pardon the Mess. It's Courtney here. Hope you're having a great summer. Today's guest is super special. It's Steph Thurling, and she is the Executive Director of Christian Parenting. And for some of you that are new here, you're like, what is that? Let me tell you, Christian Parenting is packed with all kinds of things. It's a ministry that's got a podcast network. It's got events. It's got digital content. You should definitely go out and check it out. And Steph has got her own podcast, Christian Parenting, and you'll be able to learn so much from her today. Her and I got to know each other during the interview process of me taking over this podcast, and I've come to know her heart for parents and helping equip you in the journey. And so you'll just get to hear all kinds of advice from her today on how to raise kids that know and love God. And it can be super overwhelming, and we can feel guilt, and we can feel like we're not doing enough. So I think today you'll hear her heart, you'll feel encouraged, and you'll also get some pretty practical tips to bring in faith into your parenting journey and into your home. And she specifically has a lot to say about prayer. And I love her outlook on it. I love her encouragement to make that a daily part of our lives. And so enjoy Steph and get to know one of my new friends, Steph Thurling. Okay, Steph, I would love for our listeners here to get to know you and your family. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. So we live in Minnesota, and my husband's name is Trevor. We've been married 14 years. We have Calvin, who's 11, Griffin, who is 9, and then Harriet is 7. So we are in a busy season. Like I said, we got a baseball tournament this weekend. Like, we are in just like the activity season where no one's driving, but everyone's in all the sports. So yes. That's intense. Really fun, though. I love it. I love this stage of parenting. It's really great. And I'm the executive director of Christian Parenting.
And that's my job. You have your own podcast, too, which is
and
fun.
And I have my podcast.
Fun. Yeah. So what led you to this Christian Parenting job? Was it just out of the blue? Were you thinking about a transition? Because you haven't been there that long, but I can't imagine it was like a surprise that God would lead you into this kind of role.
It was kind of both. Like, it was kind of out of the blue and so obvious that that is where God led me all at the same time. So I have a background in youth ministry, worked in youth ministry since college, went to seminary, got my degree in my master's in youth family culture, worked in congregational ministry until my oldest was about one. And then I stayed home with my kids. But for the past 5 or 6 years, I had co-founded a ministry called Raising Prayerful Kids with my friend Sarah. And we've been running that ministry, really equipping parents to pray really intentionally, creatively with their kids, just to make prayer really easy and approachable and not intimidating for parents. Love is it. The goal in our mission of that ministry. And we published a book last year called Raising Prayerful Kids. And through that book, it ended up speaking at the Christian Parenting digital event. And so connected with Christian Parenting a little bit, spoke at the event, wrote some articles, and then Jill, who works at Christian Parenting, contacted me and said, we're looking for an executive director, and your name's like the top of our list. And so here I am. So I wasn't looking for – yeah, I wasn't looking for a full-time job, but I always – like, have had such a heart for parents. And even when I was working in youth ministry full-time, I got to the point where – I wanted to be ministering to the parents as much as I was ministering to my kids. Yeah. And it just has always been on my heart to do that. And so just little by little, I've just been continuing to be in ministry in some capacity. And it's very clear that God has me here. And I love it. I love it.
I love that you're in the role. We connected super fast when you were making a decision about Pardon the Mess. And so we got to know each other through the interview process. But now I guess I'm working for you. You're technically my boss on this podcast. So it has been truly a joy to get to know you. And your heart for parents is so evident. And that is why you're doing it. And I'm excited about this conversation because I do want to kind of take a step back and say for those that are like, there's so much to do, like the spiritual life of our kids is overwhelming and we literally can't do it all. So it's like, where do you even begin? I had some friends that I'm mentoring in here in Texas and they're young moms. And I said, y'all send me some questions. So some of the ones we're going to go through today are from them, but they have, you know, first graders, second graders, and they're just like, I can't get to all the things. So so that's where we're going to go is where do you even begin? But I think both of our hearts would be one to encourage people that it really starts with our faith. And I know that that can be overwhelming. So let's dive in. I've got a load of questions. Okay, let's jump into some of these questions that I got from some parents here in Texas that have little ones and they just love the Lord so much and they're trying to figure out where to even begin. So I think we'll go in age order and we are never going to get to all of it. But let's start with those baby and toddler years. What are some things that you would suggest that they focus on in those early, early years? Because I'm like, hey, keep them alive. The end. That's all. But what are some other things as far as their spiritual growth, what you would say start with?
I mean, in the baby and toddler years, keep them alive. Sing some scripture songs over them. Pray over them. Bless them. Like, say the scriptures, but feed yourself. That's what I would say, is feed yourself. That. Like, get in the Word in any moment that you can in your complete exhaustion. Get in the Word and take care of your own spiritual life. Because just like you said before, like so much of what our kids pick up and learn about Jesus comes from us.
Yeah.
So in those really little years, I think, just try to do it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it can be, if you've got a really disciplined friend that's your same age and they're like, well, every morning, you know, I spend 38 minutes in John. And then you're like, what? Like I was up all night. So I think taking the pressure off for me was like at some point, I say a prayer. At some point, I ask God for wisdom. At some point, I turn a song on. And it just looks different in that stage. And it can be really daunting. And then I would say, too, maybe this is on your list, too. But I'm like, try to get to church, even if it's once a month. But they will take your baby and hold it. And you can get fed through your local church, which is amazing.
They will take your baby. I would also add that church is super important at that point because there's so much research that points that having other adults outside of your family, outside of mom and dad, invested in your kids who care about your kids and their spiritual lives and their faith will help them so much in their own faith formation and just growing up, they're transitioning into young adulthood. If you have more people invested in your kids, your kids will transition better into adulthood and have a lasting faith, more likely to have a lasting faith. And you find those people at church or in a small group. So yeah, that's a great
point. I would agree because it, I know when Ron and I got married, it was like, I had my friends, he had his friends. And it was like, how are we going to find our friends? And I think through small groups and community groups at church, we started finding our friends that were more like-minded and had the similar goals that we did. Not all of them, but for the most part, people we would get in a community group was like, man, y'all are thinking the same way. And it gave us a smaller group of people versus like throwing out a question on the internet and you're like completely inundated. You had two or three moms or two or three dads and you'd say, what do y'all think about this? Or how should we handle this decision? Which really plays out later in those elementary and junior high years. Okay, let's move on to those elementary years, which you are right in there. What advice would you give to parents for that?
I'm right in there. Yeah, I would say when you're talking to your kids about the Bible and you're talking to your kids about Jesus when they're in those younger years, one of the big concepts that kids need to know then is that God is big and God is powerful and he loves you and God's family loves you. So those are like really big, important concepts. Younger kids treat God like a genie, and that's not necessarily bad. Like I feel like people ask me all the time, like all my kids do is ask God for things. Like they treat him like he's a genie. And I'm like, well, they're kind of, I mean, it's kind of developmentally appropriate for them to be doing that. Cause that's all, I mean, they're inherently selfish at that age too. They don't know to do anything different. So we can teach them how to pray in different ways. And I think you definitely can do that. I'm passionate about that. But I think people kind of panic when they're like, my kids are treating God like a superhero. But that's how they view him. And that's what they're learning. So that later, when they're a little bit older into those later elementary, middle school years, they're starting to see the world more for what it is. And so then when they're thinking, oh my gosh, this world is big and scary, like, but God is big and loving. So how is he going to help me? How do I rely on him?
Yeah.
So I think those like big, like God's a superhero, miracle stories, you know, like teach them about what God can do. And then when they get older, I think the gospel is really important, because I feel like maybe your girls are probably experiencing this a lot. So I would love to hear your thought on this. But I think in those elementary, middle school years, just like focusing on the gospel for what the gospel is. Because I feel like so many people don't actually know. Like they feel this, like the, Jesus loves you and saves you. And there's nothing you can do or say that will ever make him love you less or more. But we still get stuck in this performance, in this like works-based grace.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I think especially when you're like at that age where kids are trying so hard to figure out who they are, to just emphasize that their identity is in Christ and not who they are. So that like true gospel.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I do think we overcomplicate it a lot, and we want to go, we want them to understand so much more that we didn't even understand till like 32. It's like, why are we wanting an 8-year-old to grasp something that we haven't even fully understood? And I remember one of my first churches in Atlanta, they had a really great program, but it was so simple. I think the three things they wanted them to know from those toddler early years for second grade were like, God loves you, God made you, and he wants to be your friend forever. And I just, they repeated it over and over and over again. And then they would send a little discussion thing home. And I'm telling you, those cards were so helpful, because it's like you need someone. And people have asked me before, like, why even take our kids or our family to church? There's so much dysfunction. There's so much like hypocrites in there and all these things. I'm like, because you want someone pouring into them when you need a team. You need someone, especially a church that you would trust, that is delivering biblical content and grace-based things, that they are going straight from the Bible and sharing truth with them, but it's not overcomplicated. And I just would repeat that when they were little, like, who made you? They would say, God made you. Who loves you? God loves me. Who wants to be your friend forever? Jesus. And so just repeating those things in their hearts were helpful for us. But I do remember, let's go back to prayer. I do remember being around the table, and I'm like, when I was much better at praying with them at night and at the table when they were little, I've kind of flaked out in their later years. But I remember them being like, I would like to pray for a frog or a fork or something. And you're like, all right, seriously? Like, that's what's on your heart? But how do you as a parent not overreact when they are 8 or 9 and they are hilarious and they are boys? I mean, they might even say toot or poop. Who knows what they're going to pray for?
I mean, I have 2 boys, and so we have a lot of potty talk and a lot of potty talk during prayer. Like, I may have written a book about praying with kids, but that does not mean that our prayer life looks beautiful all the time. But I think that my big thing with them is that, like, God cares what's on your heart, and he cares about the little things, and he cares about the big things. And so as parents, there's a time and a place to kind of shut it down when it gets a little over the top, like when they're losing focus and they're just trying to be distracting. It's okay to be like, all right, wrapping it up. But when they are genuinely praying about something small, like, we as parents want to just encourage that. I mean, like, yeah, God cares about that. Because if we're constantly telling them, like, no, pray about something bigger, pray about something bigger, you know, then they're going to just quit doing it. Or by the time they get to something big, they're not going to know how to pray at all, because we haven't allowed them and given them the space to pray for the little things.
Yeah, I totally agree. I remember they were memorizing scripture when they were little, which makes us sound so spiritual, but I had these cards and I didn't know them. And so we were reviewing them together. But one, the H one was, he cares for you. And I remember it coming to mind. Ella was scared at night, and didn't want to go to sleep. And I remember same thing, thinking in that moment, like, he cares about this. Like, he cares about you being scared at night, and we're going to pray through that specific thing. And then I also remember, I love stories. I'm a visual learner. I'm a visual learner. And I remember hearing God moving in our friends or in our family, and I would bring those to the table and almost like read them an email that I got from somebody or tell a story about their grandparent. And they were like glued. It was like, what? Yeah. He did? And so telling them like, hey, did you know that your grandfather brought your grandmother to know the Lord? They're like, what? You know, they're so in when it's a story versus a lecture saying like, okay, everyone recite this and tell me the three good things you saw today. It's more of like, hey, I want to share with you how God's working and what I saw. Or if they share something saying, yeah, oh, I'm so sorry that Miss Dodgson, your kindergarten teacher, is sick. Let's pray for her as a family, and really modeling that for them. And I'm sounding, like I said, so holy. And there's been times that we didn't pray together as a family. We went in times where we're like, okay, we need to bring that back. So no shame or no guilt. Just know that it's not all on you, and God can use every bit of it, from the fork to the frog to the cancer diagnosis and something.
And you can use little moments, like you're just around the dinner table reading an email. Like, that is a really easy thing. That's not reserved. You just interviewed Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and she said that she reserved her prayers when she was little. And we don't want to reserve our prayers. You know, we don't want to reserve what we pray for, big or little, but we also don't want to reserve when we pray. Like, you don't have to just pray with your kids around the dinner table and at bedtime. Like, do it in the car because you're all together and you're stuck. So just throw it out a prayer real fast, you know? So I think that's a great example.
I think one of the things I was thinking about as you were talking about some of the tougher topics, it's like, okay, how do you explain the gospel to a second grader and be like, there's this little thing that he died on a cross? Like, I remember being so scared to be like, oh, and he was nailed to a cross. I mean, that's a scary thing for someone that's never knew that was a thing.
Yeah.
And death hasn't even crossed their mind. And so I do think age appropriate resources, it's like God will give you what you need to say, but you can also feel really frozen, like you want a script. And there's a little book, I hope I can think, it's like, what is Easter? And it's like, it's not about the, it's a little tiny board book. And it's like, it's not about the eggs, it's not about the chickens. And they do it in such a way that I'm like, okay, I'm going to read board books for all the major things. But then I remember,
I like think children's books are the best.
Yes. Yes. Like Jesus Storybook Bible, hands down, is like my number one for every family. I'm like, get it. I still use it as an adult. Did you guys use that one as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the best. There are, it's like, awesome. And it's beautiful. It's engaging, but it's deep. It's challenging. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And I still do read it myself.
The thing I worried about, I'm confessing all my worries, was like, okay, there's salvation. If I'm going to do it right, are they going to do it at the right time? And there is no right time. And I remember I was sharing with them the verse, very truly, I will tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. And Ella was like, kindergarten or first grade? And she said, what does that mean? What is eternal life? And I literally had the sweats. I'm like, oh gosh, here's this conversation. And I tried to keep it as simple as possible, but she's a kid. And she was like, well, I want that. I want to go to heaven and I want to live with Jesus. And we prayed this prayer. And I remember thinking, man, have I overcomplicated it? Or it's not one and done. It's like, this is a continuing conversation with our kids. So how would you encourage parents that are like, I want my kids to know the Lord? Are they, you know, if they're eight, is it too late? Like, how has those conversations gone in your family? And how would you help talk an anxious parent down like me that's like, I need the script. What do I say? How do I lead them to the Lord? And it's not all on you.
Yeah. Well, I would say it's never too late. I think one of my favorite things is when I'll have a parent talking to me like, well, my child hasn't accepted Christ yet, and I'm worried they're never going to. And then they continue on with the story and they're like, I accepted Christ in college. And I'm like, okay. So like, do we hear this? Like, it's never too late. Like, we want our kids to accept Jesus. We want our kids to follow Jesus when they're young, because as followers of Jesus, we know that we get this peace that surpasses understanding, and they'll be able to handle so many more things easier if they do. But if they don't get there, it's never too late. Like, you don't get to count them out. Don't count them out because they moved out. Like, there's still time.
Yes.
God still works miracles. God still reaches everyone. But I think when it comes to talking to kids at any age, it's just keep it simple and keep it open, I think there are two things that are really important. I think one is important to just acknowledge that we don't have to know everything and that I don't know. That's a good question. Let's find out together is a perfectly good answer for any question because you're not supposed to know every single thing. I went to seminary and I don't know every single Bible concept and theological issue. Like, I just don't know. So you just whip out your storybook Bible later and look it up together. And then the conversation gets to continue. And I think the other thing that I like to enforce is that we are really quick to ask our kids how their day was, how their math test was, who they sat with at lunch, like how their basketball game was. But we're a lot more hesitant to ask, hey, what did you learn at Sunday school? And then continue that conversation with, hey, have you thought about that at all this week? Or have you read any scriptures? Or I've read a Bible verse that made me think of you. And here's why. Like, we just shy away from those conversations. Right. And they don't have to be big and holy. Like, they don't have to be this, like, I read this Bible verse and now I'm thinking about this deep thing. It's just like, hey, I read this and I thought of you.
Yeah. Gosh, I love that.
That's good. You know,
I remember, and we're going to get to middle school and high school, but I remember a friend of mine saying that she went to a new elementary or middle school and her mom had taught them scripture all along the way. And she remembers going through middle school and said, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And she had all these scriptures. She said it literally was like my personal HELL and I needed scripture. And she said, I just kept pulling from ones my mom had either sang over me or taught me. And so that just really imparted something on me that said, I don't want them to know scripture and know truth just so they get a gold star. Like, I'm a good Christian. Watch me recite all these things. It's like, I want it in their heart. So it's an overflow of when they get stuck, they get scared. They know they have something bigger than them that made them, that loves them more than their parents do, that they can pull from. And It freed me up because I thought, they're not memorizing the whole book of Psalm or whatever, but we were memorizing some together and they were so short and simple, like a friend loves at all times or keep your tongue from evil. So when they throw something at their friend on the playground, you're like, okay, were they ugly? But we're not going to say anything back. That's our family. And so I think it's trial by error too, that you figure out, well, that didn't work or that did. And it takes time to see those results. So anything else you would say on scripture and truth and how you weave that into your family and conversations?
No, I just think the more comfortable you get talking about these things, the easier it will be. In that I also like to remind parents that sometimes it feels way more awkward for us if we're not used to talking about Jesus in our everyday lives or like throwing out a scripture or a paraphrase of a scripture. I mean, a paraphrase of a scripture is good too, or a blessing or whatever. You don't have to have the whole thing memorized word for word. Like, don't feel like I'm going to mess it up so I can't do it. Just go for it. Just try. Yeah. They don't care. But your kids just don't feel as awkward as you do. Yeah. And so if you feel awkward, it's okay. Your kids probably don't. Or they do and they're just like, well, mom's weird anyway, so – whatever. But the more you do it, the less awkward it will be for you.
Yeah. I do love that you said, say, I don't know, because I think we think we have to have the answer either in discipline or in solving a problem. We're the parent. We're supposed to know. But I love that permission to humble yourself and say, hold on, let me go look that up. I don't know. And I don't think I did that enough. And I love, love, love that. To believe, but fall will be here before we know it. As you start to think about back to school, I want to encourage you to think about how you can be praying for your kids this school year. We are parenting in a world that feels unsteady and confusing, and we do not want these uncertain things to mark our kids. I believe that God wants to mark them with a faith that transforms their lives from the inside out. Whether you're feeling excitement or anxiousness about the upcoming school year, we have a resource that will guide you through all the highs and lows of the year. The Christian Parenting 23-24 Prayer Journal is now available. Marked by Prayer is a prayer journal from Christian Parenting that was created just for you. This journal will guide you in praying for your kids every week of the school year. And bonus for Pardon the Mess listeners, we will go through it together. We will pray and reflect on a new topic from this journal every Monday on the podcast. We have heard from you that these journals combined with praying together each week is one of your favorite parts of Pardon the Mess. I'm super excited to be following along on this journal with you. Topics from the journal include generosity, self-discipline, salvation, godly friendships, and much more. So join us as we pray that our kids would be marked by God.
visit cpgive.org to request your school year prayer journal, Marked by Prayer. Again, that's cpgive.org. Request your copy of Marked by Prayer today.
Okay, so middle school and high school, both one of mine just finished middle school, and they'll both be in high school this year. And so how would you advise parents in this category? Do you remember middle school? I've blanked it all out for me, but what would you say?
I do remember middle school. I also worked in middle school ministry for a really long time.
Okay.
So I love the middle school years. And I think that you just embrace the fun in those years. And like middle school is so fun because they're like still kids. And sometimes they act like kids, but then they want to be grownups. Then they sometimes act like grownups and they just like straddle these. And it's so awkward. Oh, it's such a good time. It's great. Yeah. But it's a great time for their faith to grow because they're really open to what you have to say still. Even though they're starting to push back a little bit and trying and like hanging out with friends, like they still are open to what you have to say. So don't feel like your time is up just because they're going to youth group more often or because they're more involved in sports or whatever they're doing. Like still lean into that because they're still listening. They really are.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that their parent or their friends and their friends' parents and their small group leaders start to have a voice, but you're right. They are not done listening to you, which is encouraging. And it's fun to watch them be receptive and then push you away and come back and forth. But I do think I got this question recently from a mom that said her kids, the youth ministry had kind of blown up, but they've been so loyal to this church. What do I do? And I don't know if this is the right answer, but this is what we did. When we moved here to Texas, I thought, find a church that the kids feel comfortable at. And we could, you know, go online and we could listen to sermons. And of course, we want a church that, like I said before, is preaching from the gospel and things we approve of. But if they prefer one or the other, or their friends are at one or the other, lean into that because you want them showing up and being involved and having people outside of their school friends that they can say, oh, well, she goes to church or she reads her Bible and she's not totally weird or she's not totally making me feel bad. And it's a safe place for them to go. And it was really important to me that I found a church that knew my kids' name. So it wasn't too big that they just went in and out and nobody recognized them. And I will say the church right now has done a great job of knowing my kids and showing up for them and being a consistent voice. But, yeah, middle school. I love that you love middle school. I don't love middle school.
I do. I know. Most people don't.
Okay. You see the gifts in them.
I do. But that doesn't mean – I mean, I have a middle schooler, and I really thought – okay, I will say that I went into parenting. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing with babies. Like, absolutely no idea. I was so terrified all the time. And I was like, I just have to get to the middle school years because I've done all this middle school ministry, and so I'm going to be such a good middle school mom. And now that I have a middle schooler, that is absolutely hilarious because turns out doing middle school youth ministry is not the same as parenting a middle schooler. Yeah. It just turns out it's not the same. So I still have no idea what I'm doing. I'm trying, but
it's cute.
Not perfect.
And I do think paying attention to what they respond to. Like I have one kid that loves overnight camp and her faith has exploded there. The other one, not so much. And so that's not wrong. It's just they're different personalities. And so I think I had this idea in my head that like formulas, if we do A plus B plus C, they will be on fire for God. And it's just not all on us. And it may, like you said, take till they're in college or they're young adults till they really grab a hold of it. But I think as parents, we are seeing on Instagram, so-and-so got baptized, so-and-so is doing our devotional, and we can feel like we've really dropped the ball. So maybe encourage that parent that's like, I'm not seeing any fruit. I've been singing to them. I've been reading them the Bible, and they are just not into it. So am I doing it wrong? And like you said, it's not too late. But maybe encourage that parent of a middle schooler that's feeling like, I don't know what else to do. It feels all on me.
Yeah. Well, first, at any age, like our job as parents is not to be the perfect parent and it is not to save our child because we cannot save our child. Only Jesus can save our child. So as parents, our job is to love our kids so well and to love them in a way that points to Jesus and to consistently point them to Jesus and to never give up on that, no matter where they are. But in that, like we have to let the Holy Spirit take the rest because the Holy Spirit is going to be the one to capture their hearts. And everybody develops spiritually at different rates. Just like and we do this as parents all the time, right? Like we panic. I remember at my son's first year appointment, the doctor was like, does he know where's your nose? She wanted him to know where his nose was. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't think so. So I was like, Calvin, where's your nose? And he just had no idea. And I was like, he knows other body parts. But I was just like now stuck on the fact that he didn't know where his nose was. And I thought it was just the end of the world. You know, like, and what age did they walk? Like, when did they do all these things? And it's so easy to compare when we're in the moment.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, it doesn't matter when our kids walked, unless there's some sort of developmental thing, obviously. Right. But within the range of normal, there's no issue of whether they walked at 9 months or 14 months. Like, it just doesn't matter. But yeah. We feel like it matters in that moment because that's where we're stuck. And so, spiritual development is the same as emotional development, as physical development. Like, it's a thing that takes time. And no matter how much effort you put into it, your kid just might not be ready yet to make that huge decision. And that doesn't mean they're not going to. It just means they need more time.
Yeah.
And we just have to be comfortable in the wait and trust the Holy Spirit. And some parents are still waiting decades in.
Yeah.
But they're still waiting. And, you know, find some of those people. If you're really feeling frustrated, find some of the people who have a testimony of I waited for a while and then my kid came, or I'm still waiting. You know, like find some mentors who can help you work through some of that fear. Because I think it's a fear and control too. Because we want all the best things for our kids. And as Christians, we know the very best thing is Jesus. And so, like, if I can give you the best of everything else, I have to give you Jesus too.
Right.
And
right.
We can only control so much. And I want to control it all, personally.
I asked Larson 1 year, that's so good stuff. 1 year, I asked my daughter, I said, do you think I love you if you're good? And she said, yes. And it rocked me because she was honest. And I think that there's a thing we unintentionally do in Christian parenting that we equate their love to their standing with God. And that's not fair. It's just not fair that they think there's some value system. Like if I am good or if I say it right, or if I go to church this many times that I am more loved. And so I think that's a huge conversation to have with your kids and say, I want that for you. I know it's the very best plan for your life. And I know God loves you. But I love you because you're mine. You're my child. And there's nothing you can do that's going to rip me away from that relationship, or nothing you can do to earn your love. And that's important because I think somehow subliminally they make this thing in their head that's like, if I am falling off the tracks, then I'm not welcome at home, which we don't want. We want them to come home no matter what they're doing. So, it's all such good stuff. I want to jump to the high school and then really hear from your heart on prayer some more, because I know that's a passion point of yours and something I can learn from for sure from you. And so any tips on high school? The only one I got is pray. Just kidding. And also it's the people and the places. I have found that the people that we've dialed into their life over the years become a much larger voice than I do. And we're in that point where we're letting go and guiding them versus teaching them. And they don't really want to hear from us as much. So think about the people and places that you're putting them around, whether it's other families or other people in their high school or youth leaders, that they are hearing the gospel and they're hearing truth from someone they respect and love. So that's all I got. And I pray a lot and I don't know how I'm doing, but I love Jesus a whole lot.
I think you're doing great. Personally, I think that you're doing an amazing job with two amazing girls. But I think you're right, too. That's why I said at the beginning, start those relationships when your kids are babies. We had a small group of friends that we gathered, and we all had kids at the same time. And we said our goal is that when our kids are older and they have a problem, if they don't want to come to us, they'll come to someone in this room. And our kids are still relatively young, but my husband just baptized one of the kids like last summer. I taught the baptism class at her church and I was like, who do you want to baptize you? Thinking she was going to say her mom and dad. And she was like, Trevor. I was like, okay. And it seems so random to me, but I'm like, her parents were thrilled. I was afraid to tell them because I was like, please don't be offended, but your daughter wants my husband to baptize her. But they're like, this is what we've been praying for. This is what we've intentionally created as a community where she's like, yeah, I want you to baptize me. Like, that's great. So I think it starts young. And when they get to high school, if your kid's having an issue that they're not quite comfortable going to you with yet, like if they have solid people who you know will give them biblical good guidance and ultimately hopefully lead them back to you to tell them, that's great. So I think you're spot on that. Sweet. And then again, I would say this is when like – some really hard questions are going to come up. And like, I was just teaching Sunday school in our little 1 to 4 year old room, and we were telling the story about the paralyzed man and how he heard Jesus was there, so his friends came and like lowered him down on the mat. You know, we know that story, and then he could walk. Mm-hmm. And for my little kids, I like spent all this time talking, what do we do with our legs? What do we do with our legs? Making it fun. And then like, Jesus heals. Jesus does miracles. That's it. That's the story. And then I was thinking about this interview, and because that's what they need to learn, right? Big miracle stories. God's big and powerful. And then I was thinking about this interview, and I was like, oh my gosh, a middle school kid, you want to learn like, okay, so God can heal our hearts. He can forgive us our sins, and he can heal our bodies. He has power over physical and spiritual. And I was thinking these high school kids, now they're going to ask the question, because when Jesus heals that man, he says, your sins are forgiven. Take your mat and walk. Right. I'm like, oh man, that high school, college kid, they're going to say, so mom, are you telling me that that man's sins made him paralyzed?
Oh, wow.
And then as mom, you go, I don't know.
Yeah. It's tough.
So again, like, don't panic at those though. Like, again, I don't know. That's a great question. Let's find out together, because that's the stuff that's coming. But the more, like, I think it's just so important not to panic, because if your kid's asking you that question, that means they're engaged and they want to learn about Jesus. And that's so, so cool. And you can do it together.
Yes.
But
I love it.
Not in a huge lecture form, because that would probably be boring.
For sure. I do think it's interesting, and I noticed it maybe middle school and probably even earlier, but I, as you can tell on this podcast, I love to talk and I don't pause to ask enough questions. And so when I have had the maturity or self-control to say, what do you guys think about that? The wisdom that comes from them always shocks me. Like, they know more than you think. They are watching more than you think. And this year I've been leading a 10th grade girls group, and there has been some situations that I was unprepared for. One girl was having suicidal thoughts. Another one was thinking she was bisexual, and just lots of complicated adult topics that I had to go to my kids and didn't disclose who it was, but said, like, I need your input on this. Like, what do you think? And these are things that they're having to wrestle through as well. And so just don't hesitate to ask them questions and see what they think too, because they might offer some wisdom. And it's make them feel respected when you're like, oh, good point. Like, they can teach you something along the way, which is super encouraging as well.
And I think that at that age too, all the scripture that you poured into your kids over their lives is going to come back, because you can like write a little scripture card, a scripture affirmation, and stick it on the dashboard of their card. You know, if they're feeling really, if they're feeling suicidal thoughts and having struggling with a ton of depression, write down all the Bible verses you can and stick them all over the house. And, you know, they may roll your eyes at you, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You're still instilling God's truth.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. All right. I want to end with prayer. You have written a book called Raising Prayerful Kids. I know it's super close to your heart. It probably wasn't like, hey, I'm going to write a book. What should I write about? It's probably something that God really started in your heart and your family. So we could do a whole nother hour on this, but talk to the parents of all ages why you think prayer is a big deal and where we can start bringing that into our home, even if they're high schoolers. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, prayer is a big deal because we are like, God wants us to talk to him and he wants us to talk with him. And prayer is commanded in scripture. You know, when Jesus is teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, he's not saying like, if you feel like praying or like when you get around to it, it's when you pray. So like Jesus is saying you're praying, so pray like this. And so it's something that we really are supposed to do as believers, but it's also something that I think is really challenging because we have this misconception of what it's supposed to be, which is that one person that you all know right now who can like just like close their eyes and just say the most beautiful prayer that brings everyone to tears in the room, and they just have that gift. And I'm not that person. I have a lot of friends who are those people, and I love it when they pray over me, but that's not my gift per se. And so I think that's what we want prayer to be, you know, or perfectly quiet prayers with quiet, still serious kids around the dinner table who are not doing potty talk during prayer time, or like before bed, you have a perfect prayer moment. And that's just not necessarily what we get or what we're called to do, because God doesn't look for us to pray in a certain way. He wants our hearts. And so our ministry is really just like, how can we take everyday moments, everything, like things that we're doing with our kids already, change our language a little bit, make it a more intentional moment, and turn something that's just a normal thing to a prayerful moment, because we already do enough as parents. We're doing so much. The idea of adding prayer is like, when am I going to do this? Right. Like, we barely get around the dining room table. How are we going to pray before dinner? Or like, bedtime super stressful and terrible for my little kid or my older kid. I don't put him to bed anymore. When do we pray? Yeah. So our mission and our passion is just, you can pray anytime, anywhere, and in a variety of ways. And it teaches your kids that there's a lot of different ways that you can talk to God, because we're all made different. So we can all communicate with God differently too.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. Maybe that's the perfect way to end. Pray for these moms. I'm thinking of these ones that I have gotten to know through my church that have all little kids, and they want to do it right so well. And they're feeling like, this is a lot, like, to know which Bible study, when to talk about this, how many days to be at church. Yeah. It feels like an overwhelming list. So we just pray them through it and bring us all back to Jesus, which is the point, right?
Yes. I would love to. Just right after I said I'm not the most beautiful prayer, but I do love to pray. So I
drum roll, please. Girl who doesn't want to pray.
Drum roll, Drew, get ready. No, I do. I love to pray. So I would absolutely love to pray over your listeners. That would be my honor. Thank you for asking. Okay. All right. Jesus, thank you so much for Courtney and for her gift to the world by being here, Lord, for her gift to your kingdom, for helping parents be equipped with tools to raise their kids to know and love you, Lord. And I just lift up every single one of her listeners, Lord, every single mom who is feeling inadequate, every mom who's feeling tired, every mom who's feeling unequipped, uninformed, or not good enough, or not pure enough, or not whatever enough, just not enough, Lord. I just pray a blessing over that mom to know, Lord, that you cover her, that you love her, that you specifically chose her to be the mom of the kids that she has in this very moment in time. And that when she cries to you, Lord, when she seeks after your heart, that you will give her everything she needs in this parenting moment, Lord, that there is nothing that she can ever say or do that will make you love her more or less, and that the same goes for her kids, Lord. So release the burdens and the pressures of motherhood so that it feels like a gift, that it feels like a privilege to be raising these kids in a way that points them to you, Lord. And I just ask that they feel specific peace over parenting and feel filled and ready to raise their kids in a world that really needs more people who follow you. So I just ask a blessing over each and every one of their families. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media over at Pardon the Mess or christianparenting_org. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.